And so in previous chapters, we've been talking about the way underlying convictions control the way you interpret the eyeball facts you see in your life. Those brute facts that we like, oh, just give me the facts, just the facts, ma'am. It's Joe Friday, old TV show, old radio show, I would say. But just the facts also, we're not Spock, we're Kirk. Whether we like it or not, if you want to pick Picard, that's fine too. But it's not just, oh, I've come and applied heartless logic to it. There are preconceptions that we have when facing any fact. And so when you put a fact out there, the way in which a person is going to respond to it depends upon his underlying assumptions. The most important thing you can do, therefore, is defending the faith as a Christian, is to learn to reason as a Christian should reason. So does the Bible talk about that? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does.
Yeah, yeah. And so he tells us it isn't so important that you amass an encyclopedia's worth of evidence, although, you know, you should have some.
Oh, that's
evidence,
fun, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Here are the minimal facts to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah. I mean, those are good. You know, Habermas is a genius for you know, really honing in on those.
Right, but he says that, you know, that isn't the crucial point. The crucial point is to learn how to think as a Christian, right? You don't have to master all the high-level details of what everybody out there believes, because from his perspective and using his methodology here, you can talk to just about anybody if you know the right questions to ask and you know what to push on regarding their operational assumptions. So if you want to develop a Christian worldview that allows you to defend the faith in this way, he's going to give us some pointers. And at the beginning of this particular chapter, he gives that old illustration about the guy who believed he was dead.
So good.
And he's going to use that to help kind of make his argument as a basic illustration to what's going on with regard to facts and assumptions, right? So here's this guy who thought he was dead. I think everybody knows the story, right? The psychologist working with him tries to do everything to help him to see, no, you're really not dead. Finally, he thinks, well, what if I could convince him that dead people don't bleed? And so he gives him all of these facts about how dead people, you know, how the blood works, the circulatory system works, and that sort of thing. And finally, the guy says, okay, yeah, I believe you. Dead people don't bleed. And then quickly he grabs his hand, pokes his finger, and there's blood. And, of course, the guy looks at it and said, wow, I guess dead people do bleed.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right.
And so there is this controlling assumption, even though he had all the facts, right? And so that's the kind of the point that he's trying to make here with regard to assumptions, presuppositions, and facts. How you view the facts oftentimes depends on your assumptions, presuppositions, right, and that sort of thing, right? And so this guy came up with a rescuing device so that he could save his basic assumptions and presuppositions.
Right.
His rescuing device was, even though he had the facts, well, I guess dead people do bleed.
Right. Right. There's a harder to wrestle from him idea. And so, you know, pricking his finger and showing him, oh, there's a small amount of blood. That's a kind of a lesser degree. And so he saves his further held on to belief of not changing his mind fully of dead people, of him being dead, to just slightly change that, oh, I guess dead people do bleed. It is possible. And so that's what Bonson hit home, especially last chapter as well, is, you know, if you talk about, oh, you know, let me convince you that it's raining outside, and I convince you, no, what you think it's raining outside is really, you know, it's just a sprinkler on the lawn. You go, okay, I guess it can be changed. Well, that's way different than, let me ask you about whether it's okay to eat children and what if it's moral to cheat on your wife. I mean, those are way more centrally held in you. And so changing your mind on eating bugs or babies or cheating on wife might take more out of it to wrestle that away from you. And so that's how this process of reasoning and looking at things through a biblical lens too gets us to where we want to go.
Right. And he says there's basically different levels of belief.
Right.
And so the basic beliefs we kind of hold on to, there are, you know, beliefs around the periphery, you know, the boundary, as it were, and those we can change or modify. You know, when I was reading this, I was reminded of Thomas Kuhn and his discussion of paradigms and how that works in the philosophy of science, which is really similar to the type of things that Bahnsen is describing here.
Yeah, the revolutions of science and how it's always viewed as the outposts. And,